Hey everyone, before we begin this episode, just a quick notice. This coming Sunday, the 15th of September, our technical dwarf, Aviv Manoach, will be running a game for us for charity, and it will be broadcasted through Twitch. You can go to isel.me/wish to see the details. We'll be using The Ward, which is a game about hospital dramedies, kind of like in Scrubs and ER and stuff like that. We'll be mostly focusing on the Scrubs part. We already have a setting. It's going to be pretty cool, I think. It's rural UK hospital with sheep and stuff. And we'll be playing, of course, myself and Uri and Amy, who you might remember from our inclusivity episode, and Jessica, who sent us a gazillion emails, and both of them are also friends of mine in real life. All of this is to fundraise money for Make-A-Wish International, and this is all being made as part of a collaborative event between Make-A-Wish and Stream Elements, the company that Aviv works for. They are usually into streaming video games, but Aviv is into role-playing games, as are we, of course, so we will be doing it with a role-playing game instead. It's called Folk versus Medicine. There's a Facebook event, and we'll give links in the show notes. But if you want to just catch up immediately, go to isel.me/wish. Isel is I-C-E-L. Isel is Aviv's online name. Have fun listening to this episode, and see you this Sunday.
You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games, the players who play them, and the gamers who game them. My name is Eran Avira.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And in a week or so, both Uri and I will begin, respectively, different campaigns, new campaigns. I as a GM, Uri as a player. So we decided to do an episode about getting ready to not only a new campaign, but a new system. Uri will start playing D&D 5.
Woohoo!
And I will start playing Pathfinder 2. And that will be basically the first time for both of us doing so on a regular basis. So what should we do? How to prepare?
Let me start off by saying, hello, my name is Uri. You may know me from pretty much all the episodes of this podcast, and in a week or so, great GM in the sky be willing, I'll start playing a new campaign in D&D 5th edition. Now, I'm lying a little bit here, because I've actually played quite a bit of D&D 5th edition, but all the D&D 5th edition gaming I've done was during the playtest of D&D 5th edition, when it was new, exciting, and in chaos. So I think I know about 130% of the rules, because I know that at least some of the rules I've already learned during the playtest are no longer in the game because they were as broken as heck. For the sake of this campaign, I'm gonna treat it as if I'm starting a brand new system which I do not know. So, what am I gonna do in order to prepare for this new campaign and new game system? So the first thing I think everyone should do, but I already did, is talk to your GM at length. Because first things first, you need to make sure about any potential house rules or setting issues that might change what character I'm going to play. What would be the available races and classes for me to choose from? And setting information that might be relevant. This would help me decide what I'm going to play and what's the setting around that. Why is that important? Because my time is very limited. So I want to make sure I'm not going to focus my attention on anything that might not be of any value when we come to the gaming table. I might spend 2 or 3 days reading up on clerics and cleric specialties and all the D&D pantheon that might be suitable gods for my character, only to discover that we're playing in a world where all the gods were slain by Husker Woodcutter, the almighty dwarf of the axe tree, or whatever. Now, ask your DM what she recommends to read and focus on. And if your GM knows you, she might be able to recommend specific character or game mechanics that would be better suited for your specific preferences. Following that, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to build my character concept. now that I know what's available to me and what's the world we're going to be playing at, I'm going to consider my character in terms of role-playing and just a tiny little bit of mechanic. When I say tiny little bit, I mean if you have classes in your game, which D&D 5th edition obviously do, I'm going to think in those terms. And I'm going to try to take that character concept and place it inside the mechanics of the game. I'm going to use this as a guiding process to learn the rules relevant to my character. If I would have, you know, endless amount of time, I would simply read the rulebook cover to cover as I used to do in the past. Alas, nowadays, we're all busy people. Once I have the roleplay concept sorted out in my mind, again, I'm going over the mechanic and looking for a way to translate that concept that I had in my head to the mechanics of the game. Again, this is a very useful process to do with your GM or a friend which is well-versed in the game. And now come the fun part of the actual rulebook. You take the rulebook, read all the basic sections which are relevant to playing any character, and then focus on those sections relevant to your character. If you're playing a fighter in D&D 3rd edition, you could completely skip all the section having to do with magic, and thus you have a lot of easier time focusing on the rules that are more relevant to you. Once I have a firm grasp of the basics, and the basics of my character, I'm gonna start looking around. That is, reading guides on the internet. Yeah, the best bard build! How to make your bard invincible! Bards? Question mark? Etc. I find that guides are not as helpful to learning things because they're usually geared up toward well-versed individuals who already know the system and want to improve current characters. So I would take them with a grain of salt as guides to actual playing or to getting to know the system. I would also recommend reading forum posts because a lot of time those debates are going to tell you a lot of specialties about characters that might help you during that when you actually build your character. Some examples that I've encountered is what's the best build for a bard? How to make your bard a healer? And what is the College of Valor and why it sucks? Actual posts, all of them. Next up, I'm going to go and I'm going to watch some actual play. Now, I usually don't watch actual play because I don't enjoy it. Wherever I see a video of people playing, I immediately think, oh my god, that looks so much fun. I should go and play right now. So I turn off the video and I go and play. But I do believe that watching actual play in order to learn a gaming mechanic is a very, very worthy effort. When I started playing Fate, I watched Tabletop with Will Witten. They had an amazing episode about Fate, which really highlight everything you know need to know about the system. This is the point where you can actually go and check out other helping guides, like up to four players that have amazing two-page sections in comic about how to play some of the gaming systems.
Yes, we did for Edge of the Empire, which also works for Genesis, and we did for Savage Worlds, and we did one for Fate.
Which are all amazing, and you should totally read them if you're going to play one of those systems. Next up, I'm going to go and finalize my character sheet in order to really get the show on the road. Again, I highly recommend taking your final product and giving it to your GM so she could get over it and give you her approval. I believe that the whole character creation and game starting process is and should be a collaborative effort. This will also help your GM a lot in setting up everything on her side, be it the challenge rating of the encounters or just brushing up on the rules regarding the specific feats and combos that you have on your character sheet. Cool, that's what I'm going to do. Eran, what are you going to do?
So, a lot of the same things, but on a very different timeline. I start by, of course, reading the rulebook. As a GM, I need to know many of the rules, but I think that it's not only just so I'll be able to explain how grapple works when it happens, but also, and it's a lot more important, in order for me to understand how the dynamics work around the table. Like, for example, in D&D, I am, as a GM, expected to present combats, and I'm expected to present fair fights, and they're supposed to happen several times per adventuring day. And all of this is completely untrue in Dungeon World, where I'm supposed to follow a specific set of rules, of principles, and use specific moves in order to make things harder for the players, through making things harder for their characters. And it really doesn't matter if it's fair or how many times it happens in a day or if it's a fight, or etc., etc. So I, as a GM, must understand how to run this system. And if it's a system that is unlike anything I've run before, like, for example, if I'm only used to D&D-esque games and now I'm going to run something like Savage Worlds or Fate or Dungeon World, it's really best to begin with watching actual play of it, or listening to actual play of it, and see how other people play it. Understand what's the flow between the GM and the players. What's going on there? What the GM is expected to do and say? What the rules expect her to say? And how the players are expected to respond? What's the pace? And also, what's the quick and dirty resolution? Like, for example, if I want to grapple someone, then sure, there are probably grapple rules. But if I just want to jump over a pretty wide trench, how do I do that? Do I really now need to go and check the rules for athletics? Or can I just give something like a DC difficulty class of 10? I mean, is 10 a lot? Is 10 too much? Is jumping over a trench something that should be exact? Like, does it need to be 13 for some reason? Will it be useful for the game if I actually check the exact number? Or can I give a generic DC? And if so, which one is it? These are important questions that I need to know the answers to before I start the game. The next thing I do is find the best character sheets, the best summary sheets, condition cards or anything like it, if I need any sort of player aids, GM screens, not necessarily to place as a screen, but because of the tables on them, everything that will be a quick, simple, useful summary of the rules, and in the case of character sheets, a useful summation of your character that I can hand to the players, because most character sheets are pretty yucky. Most official ones are pretty damn yucky. So it really is a feat to be able to create one that is useful and nice looking, and the people who manage to do so should be celebrated, and we should use their God-given gifts for our benefit and actually use these character sheets.
I think that's because the people who design role-playing games have a lot of work to do because they're designing role-playing games. And the people who are playing role-playing game have every single moment in which they're not playing role-playing games to think and improve on that.
I think that the main problem is that most role-playing games these days still have not realized that graphic design and visual design are an important part of every design, including game design. Something that board games have realized several years ago and are doing great, amazing things with. But let's put it to the side and continue. The next thing I do is find a published module, because I never run something that I wrote myself. Not even for a playtest, not even when Uri and Aviv Manoach and I sit down and play a system just to test it out. It's something that we did several times in the past. Even in those cases, I avoided as much as I can to create something of my own, because a published module does the same thing that I'm looking for. It shows me what the designer expects of a game, how a session should work, what is a lot, what is little, how many things should happen in every scene, and what kind of things. And it should be really simple. It should be like, you know, zero level adventure or something like that. Not only because the characters are first level, but also because we don't really know the rules yet. So it would be best if there won't be 75 different types of creatures, but only like 3 types of creatures, and they will all do the basic things. I mean, let's hope no one grapples. Let's say it like that.
It's amazing, you know, let's open it up for a moment. I've played D&D 3rd edition for years, and I literally and I've played and ran D&D 3rd edition for years, and every time someone wanted to grapple, even myself as a player or as a GM, someone would say, "I could grapple him." And then there was a moment of silence, and then someone said, "Let's not," and we moved on.
I should really note that grappling is a lot easier these days, both in Pathfinder 2nd edition, both in D&D and in Savage World. Grappling is really not a big deal, but it used to be a pretty big deal indeed in D&D 3, and that's why it's still, I think, one of the major examples. The next thing is actually what you said, Uri. I sit down with the players and help them create their characters. And I think the most important thing here is to try to help them find the best way to manifest their idea using the rules. So if, for example, you come to me and say, "I want to play a knight who worships devils, and he is really strict, and there's this code of laws that if he follows, then he gains superpowers from the devils, but if he stops following them, that he will lose them," then in, for example, Pathfinder or D&D, I would say, you're saying you want to play a champion or a paladin. And a variant of a champion, but I know where to begin. And then we can sit down and see, well, do you need this feat? Do you need this specific ability? Are you looking for this spell? And maybe we'll change it a bit. Not too much. We don't really know what will happen. We've only just started playing the game. We really shouldn't house rule. But maybe we can just change for now some of the way that the way that you explain it, the way that you describe it in the game, and we can work with that. And this process should end with having characters that are more or less what the person, the people were looking for. However, they will not exactly be that. Not only because not everything can be used in the game. Like, for example, if you want to tell me, "I want to play a knight of worship devils," and I tell you, "What you're describing to me is a level 5 character," then you can't play that in a game that is using level 1 characters. You can play someone who wants to become that knight, and let's try to plan the way you'll get there. But that's one thing. I'm also talking about the fact that because none of us actually play this, or at least haven't played this enough, it could be that what we've chosen for you, the options that we've decided are best for you, don't actually work. Maybe some of them are simply not useful. Maybe you won't be using them. Maybe we didn't understand the difference between wisdom and intelligence and we swapped them. It can be a lot of things. So there's an important thing, an important concept that I call early character malleability. And I'll give a link in the show notes to an article that I wrote about it, which is just that, for the first few sessions, your character is not yet set. We can change their attributes, their powers, their class even. We can change everything about them until we realize that what we have is what we are looking for. The character is open, rules-wise, and also, I would claim, in all other ways, until like session 3 or 4, where we should really start saying, okay, this is probably, we know who this person is, we know how to express it in the rules, let's go on with that. Next, during the session itself, generally speaking, when I'm unsure about something, check it immediately. That's also something that happens when I read the book right now. Like, for example, I'm currently reading Pathfinder 2nd edition. I actually stopped reading because I've read most of it. But when I'm like in the shower and I'm asking myself, wait, does 2nd edition has detect good and evil? Is it a thing? I don't remember. The first thing I do after I go out of the shower is check. Because especially in the case of a system that is a 2nd edition of something that happened before and you are used to the previous one, it's really important to make sure that whenever a question arises, you know the answer to. So things will shift in your brain. However, during the game, it's not as easy because we want to do a lot of things. We want to play, for example. We want to make sure everyone is entertained. So we can't check everything and we can't do it immediately. However, I would claim we should err on the side of checking. So unless we have a good reason not to, we should check. I ask for patience. I ask my players, you know that this is important. I want to make sure that we are doing this correct. in order for us to be able to later do this incorrectly. You must master the rules in order to be able to change them. I mean, if I'll just start deciding right here and now that in order to grapple, you just need to roll athletics and that's it, and then that the person that you've grappled with is on the ground and you've won the grapple, then we will very quickly come to a point in the game where everyone grapples everyone because it's super powerful and really useful. So we should really understand how grappling works before we decide to change it. Before we decide that it should be different because for us it works, because for us it will be fun if it will be different. So ask for patience, check the rules, and delegate. This is probably the best thing. If we're in the middle of combat or in the middle of a scene or something, ask one of the players to check what is the rule in order that we should use here. And ask the players to do so for themselves. If you are playing a druid and you're not sure how wild shape works, how you can change into different animals, which animal can you change to? How long? What exactly happens mechanics-wise when you do so? Check the rules. Open the book. Check the rules right now and read it. And if you are playing a druid and as a player, you really don't care about any of this because this is not your part of fun in the game. You came to the game for different reasons. You want to enjoy some time with your friends. You want to be a cool bear. You don't care about what the bear rolls and how many hit points the bear has. Well, there is another player in the group who do enjoy these things. Give it to them. Not everyone needs to know everything about the characters. However, everyone should know at least some things about the characters. And there will probably be someone in the group that is very happy to know everything about all characters. Just hand them the book and ask them to check everything whenever there's any question.
They're going to do that anyway. Okay, so you're actually doing them a favor by giving them a positive outlet and an official statement that they are the one who checked the rules.
My final thing is what happens after the session. I will highly recommend, especially if something didn't feel right using the rules. You've actually used the actual rules and you've checked and you don't think this works. And maybe you think something is wrong with the system. Maybe you think that something is wrong in the way that you interpret it. Maybe you just know that this is not fun for your group and you would like to change how grappling works. Ask on the webs. Go to a forum. Send us an email. Send an email to a friend that you know that works on and that uses this system, or just, you know, ask something on their Facebook page. Ask on Twitter with the hashtag of the system you're using. Try to find out how other people approach this same topic, because it could be that what you have sensed is completely true and right, and indeed this is a part of the system that simply doesn't work as intended and you should do something else. And here is an example of something you can do. Here's another example. Choose whichever you want. Continue on. Or it could be the case that everyone really likes the grapple rules. You realize you don't like the grapple rules. Either find a way to change them, find someone who did change them, or stop using grapple. I mean, if it is the case that the grappling rules only happen because someone wanted to jump on someone else, and it was a one occurrence, and you don't really think it will happen again, because that player does not play a character who loves to jump on other people, it was really just a one-off thing, then maybe there's no need to find a solution.
I don't know, Ran. If your party does not have someone who enjoys jumping on things, then there is a problem and it should be dealt with. But that's not the issue at hand. I will remind everyone that we do have an episode called We're Gonna Need a New Mechanic for That.
Yes, good point.
Specifically about what you just suggested.
We'll give a link in the show notes so you can continue on to them, because this is everything we had to say about this subject. Uri, how would you summarize?
I think that starting a new system, a new gaming mechanic, is an amazing opportunity to really open up to new concepts and new ideas. And it doesn't matter if you're going to GM or going to play in this new gaming system. Every gaming system has its own unique set of mechanics and ideas and shticks. I love that word. And all sorts of shticks that you can take and expand your mind with, and your game.
I want to reach out and ask you, every one of you, to play the game that you are trying to play. This might sound weird, but I'll give an example. There was a group of people who played Wonders, which is the Hebrew translation of Masks, a New Generation. And they didn't follow the rules. And they didn't have a... And that resulted with a less than excellent experience. And they decided to stop using the system. But they actually haven't used the system now. Have they? I mean, if you don't follow the rules, then you haven't played the game. In that case specifically, and what I'm saying now is conjecture, but I'm pretty sure it's probably correct. They were so used to a game like D&D, where there are facts about the world and the GM and players sort of explore them, that a game like Mask, in which you are expected to create facts about the world in the game, as part of the game, as part of the rules, it was just too weird for them, and they thought they can just delegate everything to the GM, because they are used to having the GM as the person who tells them what is true and what are the facts, the fictional facts. That's not how masks work. You are supposed to create stuff, and it's not optional. It is the game. Now, if you've already got into the position where you think that this game sounds awesome and you are willing to try it out, please do try it out. If you are unsure if this game is for you, well, we will do a whole episode about the sell, how to explain a game in the first place, how to make someone understand enough of a game so they'll be able to decide if they want it or not. But that's in the future. For now, it's time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing games in our personal lives.
Well, I don't have a lot to add because I spent the last week at the resort up north where it was hot as hell. I was on a family vacation with my family and friends and their family, and it was glorious. I highly recommend everyone to just take a week off everything and go off and enjoy yourself. However, I did spend a lot of that time thinking about my new character, yay, for the new campaign that we were just talking about. And I'm obviously going to play a bard in D&D 5th edition, and it's going to be glorious.
It will be. It will be. They're great. I'm going to start running Hell's Rebels, an excellent, woohoo, really good, I've read all of it, adventure path in of Pathfinder 1st edition, using 2nd edition in RP Haven Archway, and I'll be doing a pitch night next Tuesday, which is the first Tuesday of September. If you are around London, and, well, North London, and you're into that sort of thing, you are more than welcome to come and hear me out and create characters with me, because this is what we're going to do. Besides that, I was recently in a tabletop industry networking event here in London, a first of its kind, because despite London being like huge, it's a really big city, there are no organizations that any of us knew of for designers in the tabletop world, including board games and wargaming, to meet and talk, etc. You know, just in, well, what it says, in industry networking, the tabletop industry networking event. And during that event, which was fun, and there were like 25 people, and it was recommended for everyone who is into this sort of thing to, well, contact me, and I'll show you where to learn more information about the next one. I started thinking about how there's actually no current solution in London to the sort of things that we, Uri, you and me, take for granted from Israel, the sort of cons that we see in Israel. And I'm not talking about just things like Beyond the Screen, the convention which was all about theorycraft of role-playing game, and that you went to and gave a lecture on just a week or two before. I'm also talking about just having a convention where people come and play, and also can participate in a panel in which just normal schmoes like you and me come along and talk about things. Because Dragon Meat, for example, does have panels, and it also has games, but all of the panels are industry panels. They are for big companies that come along and explain what they will be doing next year. And it's mostly about the booths, less about the games. So I think that there's place here, maybe, for a convention, and maybe we should do something about that. We'll talk in the future. That was it. If you want us to talk about a specific thing, excellent. Send us an email to show@dwarfcast.net. If you want to follow us, excellent. Go to dwarfcast.net or search for Dwarf Podcast wherever you are. And as always,
Later out!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by Attribution Non-Commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Dio. And you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.